Lecture 6, London.
Welcome back, everyone, to our Haydn biography. This is Lecture 6, and it is entitled London, 1790 to 1792. So it was that on December 15th, 1790, after tearful farewells to Luigia Polzelli, Marianne von Genzinger, and Wolfgang Mozart, who was to die in less than a year without ever seeing Haydn again, so it was that Franz Joseph Haydn and Johann Peter Salomon departed Vienna for London. They arrived in England on New Year's Day, 16 days later. A quick word about Johann Peter Salomon, the man of the moment, the man who pulled the trigger first, the man who got Haydn. He was a German-born violinist who made a successful career as a soloist in England. In 1786, he began producing concerts himself. It was by serendipitous chance that he was in Cologne on his way to Italy when he heard of the death of Prince Nicholas Esterhazy. Solomon wasted not a single moment. He took the first available coach to Vienna and, as it has been written, carried Haydn off in triumph. Solomon is buried in Westminster Abbey. On the tablet that marks his tomb is inscribed, Johann Peter Solomon. He brought Haydn to England in 1791 and 1794. That's his legacy, my friends. And it's a nice legacy. Haydn, who had never seen the sea before, described his journey across the English Channel in a letter to Marianne von Genzinger, and now we quote that letter. I must now tell you that on New Year's Day, after attending early mass, I went on board at 7:30 a.m. and at 5 in the afternoon arrived safe and well at Dover, for which heaven be praised. During the first 4 hours, there was scarcely any wind. Fortunately, towards 11:30, such a favorable breeze began to blow that by 4 o'clock, we had come 22 miles. I remained on deck during the whole passage in order to gaze my fill at that huge monster, the ocean. So long as there was a calm, I had no fears. But when at length a violent wind began to blow, rising every minute, I saw the boisterous waves rushing on. I was seized with a slight alarm and a little indisposition likewise. But I overcame it all and arrived safely in harbor without being actually sick. Most of the passengers were ill and looked like ghosts. I did not feel the fatigue of the journey until I arrived in London, but it took 2 days before I could recover from it. But now I'm quite fresh and well and occupied in looking at this mighty and vast town of London, its various beauties and marvels causing me the most profound astonishment." Unquote. Yeah, the sheer size and bustle of London both fascinated and frightened Haydn. And why not? London was far and away the biggest and richest city in all of Europe, and for someone who had never traveled outside the confines of Austria and Western Hungary, it was a strange and marvelous place. There was also the language issue. Haydn spoke no English, unlike Mozart, who was quite conversant in English, and although he did his best to study the language while he was in England, he was never particularly good at it. Ultimately, the language issue never amounted to much of a problem. It would seem that everybody in England, and I'm not exaggerating, everybody loved Joseph Haydn. Even though he was almost 59 years old, Haydn had the soul and the spirit of a much younger man. He was insatiably curious in regards to every aspect of English life, and he didn't want to be left out of anything. The English, for their part, were thrilled to finally have the great and famous Haydn on their shores. And look, they didn't even have to kidnap him.